Matthew Sanford was 13 years old when he was in the car with his father and with his sister during icy conditions. And the car skidded off the road and his father died, and so did his sister. And Matthew was quite seriously injured. He had many broken bones. Some of his organs weren't functioning well, and part of his spinal cord was shredded. When he came to, he did not remember the car accident. His bones started to heal, his organs started to function again, but his spinal cord did not repair itself, and Matthew was paralyzed from the waist down. Matthew had been an athlete before he was in the car accident, and it was suggested to him that he would focus on building up his upper body and become an athlete in a wheelchair. And so he did. For 12 years, that's what he did. He built up his upper body, and then when he was 25, he noticed that his experience of himself was a floating upper body, because he was told not to pay any attention to the lower part of his body, so he was completely disconnected from it. And then he met an Iyengar yoga teacher. And in Iyengar yoga, they teach that when we align our body in certain postures, we allow the energy to flow freely in the body. And when we breathe into spaces, we expand it, and the energy flows more, especially when we breathe into spaces we're not aware of. So the yoga teacher supported him and, with the help of props, actually put his whole body in yoga postures. And he started to breathe into his lower body. And then he discovered that even though he didn't remember the car accident, his body did. And so he started to experience sensations, and, you know, a certain freedom came, but with it also came all the feelings. So in the process of doing yoga and freeing himself, and as he says, healing himself, and not healing himself in the sense of that now he can walk because he cannot, is like healing himself from within, is like embracing his wholeness through embracing the lower part of his body as well. You know, but it was, as he says, it's like it wasn't an easy journey. It wasn't like, oh, he just turned the switch and that was it, and he was in bliss and felt whole. You know, it was a process, because all the emotions came up, because all the emotions were stored in the body. He says his 13-year-old body took the impact of the accident and stored it. You know, so that was being released, and he needed to give it space. So we're in week three of a six-week series of studying Krista Tippett's book called Becoming Wise, An Inquiry into the Mystery and Art of Living. I've said this title so many times, and I still have to think about it. So it's becoming wise. Becoming is growing into. Wise is embracing wisdom we have, integrating the wisdom, the knowledge we have, and making it part of our being so we don't even have to think about it. We live it. So that is becoming wise. And then what we're doing, it's an inquiry. So we're asking questions. We're asking questions about the mystery, and a mystery is something we cannot encompass fully. That's why it's called a mystery. But we can probe, we can ask questions, we can learn about it. You know, and the art of living, the art, the expression of how we move and have our being in the world. So that's what we're doing today in relation to the body. So we're asking probing questions, we're looking at, you know, what role does our body have in our art of living, in the mystery of living, right? And Matthew Sanford's story is an incredible story, because he has so many lessons in the journey that he walked that we can use. But as we make this inquiry, we need to understand from which place we're coming, and it's like, You know, Sharon, thank you again for the beautiful music this morning because it totally sets the tone. You know, Sharon has said it is the teachings of unity. We are an expression of the divine, spirit, mind, and body. Our body is an expression of the divine. You know, it has intelligence, much more than we actually give it credit for. You know, it is present. And so I have a quote here from Henry Ward Beecher, who says this very beautifully. He's a clergyman, or was a clergyman, anti-slavery activist, and a reformer in the 19th century. And he said, God made the human body. God made the human body, and it's the most exquisite and wonderful organization which has come to us from the divine hand. Now think of your own body. I'm going to read this again. God made your body. And your body is the most exquisite and wonderful organization which has come to you from the divine hand. So that is the premise when we start to inquire into how the body plays a role in the art of living. The other thing that is really important, and again, that also came back in the music this morning, it's like it's the understanding that God is all that there is, so there is no place where God is not. This also means that we are all connected. How we live in our bodies, you know, how we inhabit our bodies, actually does affect our environment. You know? When I'm with a person who is really comfortable in their bodies, in their body, I relax. You know? It makes a difference, right? When I inhabit my body and I know what is there, excuse me. And I'm aware of what is there, then I interact differently with the world. And with people and in situations, I'm more flexible than when I stuff something away that I don't want to deal with. Because if I have stuffed something away that I don't want to deal with, and somebody says something that kind of pokes at that, I can have quite a reaction, even when that thing that is happening over there, seemingly, is really not that big of a deal. You know, there's a saying in psychology that I really like. It's like, when it is hysterical, it's historical. You know, and it tells me that when I'm overreacting, I need to look at what is going on for me. That doesn't always mean that I condone what is going out there, but when I get hysterical about it, then there's already something in me that I'm not addressing. Right? So, how did we get disconnected in the first place? So, of course, you know, there is Matthew Stanford's story. It's like there is trauma and the brain just can't, you know, the mind cannot process it. So what it does, it stores it in the body. Bessel van der Kolk, he's a psychiatrist and he has done a lot of research on trauma. I like his definition he has for trauma. He says the effect, trauma are the effects of overwhelming experiences on people and society. So trauma is the effects of overwhelming experiences on people and society. Now, it's important to realize that there are overwhelming experiences. What is overwhelming experience for me might not be an overwhelming experience for you. You know, the key is that we have an experience that we cannot process, that we cannot deal with. And what we do is to survive, is to suppress it so that we can move on, which at times is very useful. Because sometimes we just need to move on. We just need to do other things. Where the problem comes in is like when there is no space or time where we can actually process it. And then it starts to affect our lives in different ways, right? But besides that, you know, it also can be that we just don't want to deal with something, right? That is not necessarily overwhelming. We just don't want to deal with it. We don't want to be with it. We don't, you know, we don't like the situation. We don't want to take the time to inquire. You know, we just don't want to do it, and we suppress it. But again, it's still sitting there. It's still working us. You know, a simple example can be, it's like having a disagreement with somebody and it just never gets resolved. And every time you see that person, there's this little poke, you know? It's like, it's just there. It's just uncomfortable, but, you know, you just don't want to do anything with it. So that affects us. And then the other thing is, and we see this especially in religion, certain religions, is like where the belief is that the body is evil. That the body is something, you know, we need to be afraid of. That the body is something we need to dominate. You know, that the senses are something that are wrong. You know, so then also we start to disconnect, right? Because we don't see the divine. And once we don't see the divine in our bodies, we're out of wholeness. Right? So it starts to influence us. Also in medicine it happened, right? For a period in Western medicine, the body was looked at as all these parts that can be treated. It wasn't looked at as a whole, and definitely there was no mind-body connection for a certain amount of time. Right? So it also became very separate. So what do we do to reconnect? You know, to be honest, I think we all disconnected to a certain extent. You know, I think the very few people are fully inhabiting their bodies. It's like Eve Ensler, she wrote the Vagina Dialogues, you know, very popular, very well known. And, you know, she was all about inhabiting the body and bringing awareness. And she really thought that, you know, she was there. And then one day she was diagnosed with cervical cancer. And, you know, she shares, it's like, yeah, I thought I was inhabiting my body. And then I got that diagnosis, and then I really got into my body. You know, God bless her that she didn't disappear from her body, you know, but she really started to inhabit it and work with it. And her mantra is like, as opposed to Descartes who said, I think, therefore I am, she had her mantra saying, I feel, therefore I am. You know, it's beautiful, right? It really connects us. So, you know, I don't say that we're all getting cancer to be aware of where we are in our bodies, but I think it is important for us to recognize that we all have certain things that we suppress and that we might not even know what it is. But just the willingness to say, it's like, huh, let me breathe into those spaces that are uncomfortable. Let me breathe into those spaces that I'm not feeling. You know, it's very powerful. Kim DeRamo, she's an osteopath and worked in emergency medicine for quite some time and then started her own business, the Mind-Body Connection. She says she has a process, and she says the first thing that is really important to do is bring awareness to our bodies. And then breathe into our lower abdomen. It was very interesting to hear what she had to say. She says, there are ganglia along our spine. And at the level of the chest, when we breathe into the chest, those ganglia are stimulated. But at the level of the chest, they invoke the fight and flight syndrome. You know, which is, again, very helpful when we need to keep ourselves safe, right? But if we continually breathe into our chest, we never get to relax. The parasympathetic nervous system doesn't get to do its job. So she says, when we really notice something in our body, what you do is you bring awareness, and then you start to breathe deeply into your abdomen. So you start to, you know, it's like activate those neurons that support the parasympathetic nervous system, and then the body can calm down. And she said, it's when something is going on, you bring awareness to it, not to make it wrong, not to push it away, not to fix it, but just to be with it, bring the breath to it, bring space to it, and once you bring space to it, the energy will move. You know, so there are two parts in there which is really important. It's like first we bring, several parts. First we bring awareness, we create space, and then we listen, right? The first week of the six-week series, we listen. We listen to our bodies. Our bodies are intelligent. They can tell us what is going on, right? They can tell us what it needs. You know, so we create the space. And then words is like, you know, the second week that Reverend Kristen talked, is like, how do we talk to our bodies? How do we approach our bodies? Do we approach it as something that is annoying and is not doing what we want it to do? Or do we approach it lovingly, knowing that it is a divine expression and that it's just talking to us? You know, most of us take better care of our cars than of our bodies. You know, we know that when we don't take care of our car, we probably end up with a big bill later on. And some of us are so in tune with our cars that, like, we get in our car, we start the car, start driving, we're like, yeah, something is off. You know, you go like, what? Sounds good to me. You know, they're like, no, it just sounds different, right? And then we take care of it. But with our body tells us something like, you know, our knee is hurting, like, oh, don't bother, you know, just get on with it. You know, it's not helpful. When we appreciate somebody, we all know that, right? When we are appreciated, it lifts us up. It adds to our life energy. It adds to our expression. When we do that with the body, it's the same thing. So we bring awareness. We check our attitude. And we give it space, and we listen. You know, where we see that are in some practices, the Vietnamese Zen master Thich Nhat Hanh, you know, has brought mindfulness meditation all over the world. And his practice is truly beautiful. It's truly about being aware of every moment and of the preciousness of every moment and understanding where our bodies are in space and time. He considers the earth sacred. You know, so he says when we walk on the earth, we are aware of its sacredness. And we are aware of how we walk on the earth. So walking meditation brings great awareness of what we do with our bodies in relation to the earth. So after the first service, Ben Cabal was, you know, the Tai Chi master that is part of our community, was talking to me, and he says, like, yeah, what you learned from Thich Nhat Hanh is what they call the tiger walk. And in the tiger walk, what you do is, like, you put your toes first, and then you put your foot down, very consciously being aware of what is happening. And it's like putting your toe first is like kissing the earth. Isn't that beautiful? You know, kissing the earth while we're walking, experiencing its sacredness and connecting our bodies with it because our bodies are considered the earth as well. So when we do that, we connect mind, body, and earth, right? So it brings us into our bodies. Another teacher, John Kabat-Zinn, he is a professor emeritus of medicine, and he went in the 1960s, he went to India and learned to meditate and brought mindfulness-based stress reduction to our society. Again, a very well-known program that is taught in regular medicine. Actually, Kaiser Permanente offers the course for free, as far as I know. I know they offer the course, but as far as I know, it's for free, right? Yeah. So it's beautiful, right? So it starts to come into our system. It's also taught at schools, you know, and it's taught in businesses. So in mindfulness-based stress reduction, they use mindfulness meditation. They use body awareness, yoga, and the exploration of patterns of behavior, thinking, feeling, and action. You know, so all of these things are just so powerful. Now, of course, there are many healing modalities, you know, that are accessible to us, right? Here at the center, the second Wednesday of every month, we offer Reiki. Reiki is energy healing. It definitely has, you know, interacts with the body. I have very powerful experiences with Reiki and healing. You know, there's massage, there's sound healing. There are all kinds of ways we can go about it. And then one thing that is also really important is food, how we relate to our food. And I really noticed that when I had COVID, like at the beginning of September, I got COVID for the first time, and it really hit me like a brick. It was like overnight, and my body was so uncomfortable. But the interesting thing was that part of me just surrendered. And not surrendered in the way of like, oh, I'm just going to give up. But there was just a level of acceptance that was beautiful to experience. I was like, oh, I got COVID. My body is working something out. All right, let me see what it is. And so I really started to pay attention to my body. So even though I was uncomfortable, my mind was really at peace most of the time. Not always. Took me 12 days to get over it. And by day 10, when I still tested positive, I had my little hissy fit and then got over it again. And, you know. But the experience was amazing. And even on day one, you know, when I really felt that surrender, I could feel something in my body. And I go like, hey, transformation is happening. I'm not quite sure what. But that's okay. I don't need to figure it out. Let me just keep looking. Let me just pay attention. And then, you know, so I started to pay close attention to what I needed. And I was like, usually when I'm sick, I'm not often, very often sick, but like when I have the flu, I want junk food. It's like, doesn't make sense at all, but that's what I want. You know, I can't even think of eating vegetables. This time I was like, eat healthy food. There was no desire for sugar. There was no desire for coffee. I just wanted healthy, nutrient-dense food. So that is what I did. You know, I took certain herbs that works for me. And then I thought, let me take Tylenol PM, because in the past, if I couldn't sleep or if I was uncomfortable, that would happen. My body would not have it. I took it and I was restless all night long. It took me 3 days to catch on that if I didn't take it, I actually slept well. But again, it's like my body was so clear about what it needed. You know, again, there's nothing wrong with Tylenol, you know, because it worked for me at other times, but not this time. That is not what it needed. And food became so important. And what I noticed is that when I eat really good food that is alive, then my body is satisfied. Then there are no cravings. I'm just good, you know, and my body can do its work. It's like, it has taken a little bit. It's like took 12 days and then I started to feel a lot better, but I could feel like over time it was still working itself out in my body, and it's just this constant noticing. It's like, oh, okay, it's still doing this, that's fine, but just keep feeding it well. You know, research has shown that when we grow our own food, and it's like when we grow our own food, we give it attention, right? Most of the time, we give it love, we care for it. And who has experienced, like, I have a community garden, and I'm growing tomatoes, and my tomatoes taste so good, right? It makes such a difference, and it's amazing because they taste even better than the organic tomatoes from Whole Foods. You know, makes a difference. It's like on my patio, I have strawberries. And even the strawberries, you know, they taste so good. And what research has proven that, you know, homegrown vegetables or vegetables that are grown like with attention, that they taste good. And when they taste good, the nutrient density in the vegetable is really high. So nature set it up for us perfectly, right? It tastes good, so we want to eat it, so we get the nutrients that we need. You know? But again, it makes all the difference. And when I eat good food, and when my body feels that satisfaction, it's not craving for the vitamins or the, you know, whatever it needs in that moment, the life force it needs, then it relaxes. And again, it brings us to a space that when we need to release something out of the body, it has the energy to do that. It has the energy to process it. So Dan Barber, he's a real advocate for the farm-to-table movement. He's a chef and has several restaurants. he is sharing in the chapter on the body, he is sharing that, you know, they even see it in the restaurant, that animals raised with integrity, the meat is much better than animals that are raised out of integrity. It's amazing, right? And it makes a lot of sense. So when we reconnect with our bodies, you know, we experience our wholeness, we experience the grace and the joy in our bodies. You know, we move in the world with more ease. We can stay centered. We're not off kilter so quickly, right? When something happens, we can process it better. Our blood pressure lowers. Our heart health is better, you know? And yeah, we experience greater joy. But it's not just for ourselves. Also, what I notice is like when I can be with what is going on in my body and I have compassion for myself, then I can also have compassion for others. When I have to deal or when I deal with the trauma in my own body and start to understand the process, I start to look at the world differently. You know, because then I can understand why some other people might not be able to override what is going on for them. You know, when I connect with my body, it makes a difference in how I live my life. It makes a difference who I vote for because I want to vote in alignment with my values. It makes a difference where I shop because I want to connect with the shop owners who are in alignment with my values. I want to go to the farmer's market where I get better quality food. You know, when I am in alignment with my own body and I experience the wholeness, then I support organizations who also do that for other people. Because the truth is, again, we are all connected. So when I take care of my body, it doesn't matter. My body can be super healthy, but if the world around me is not healthy, then I'm still not in wholeness because we are connected. There is no separation here. You know, and the body is a perfect metaphor for that. You know, years ago, I had something going on the little toe of my foot, and it didn't seem to be a big deal. It was like a little bump. And I asked the doctor about it. I go, like, yeah, it's not a big deal. You know, I don't have to worry about it. And then it started to hurt a little bit. And I was asking them about it. And they go, like, ah, it's probably just arthritis. You know, you don't have to worry about it. There's nothing we can do about it. And then it grew a little bit more. And it became so painful that I could not wear closed shoes. And at night, when I laid in bed, I had to hang my foot over the edge of the bed because I could not tolerate a sheet on my foot. So that was my toe, but my toe was not separate from the rest of my body. So my toe was hurting, my whole body was contracted, and my mind. Because there was this constant awareness of this pain that I had to deal with. And then I went to the next doctor, and they said, like, oh, that's interesting, let's take an x-ray. And I went, like, wow, what a novel idea. It'd be nice if that had happened a few years ago. And so what they noticed is that there was just this little pearl of cartilage sitting on the joint of my toe. And so they did surgery, they removed it, and all was fine. And it was amazing. My partner at the time said, your whole body posture changed. Just because I took care of that. But it means that toe was not separate from the rest of my body. And so if we expand that metaphor to the world, we are not separate from anybody else. So the more we can inhabit our bodies, the more we can love our bodies, the more we can let the joy and the grace flow in our bodies, it affects the community around us and the care we have for the community around us. Yes? Great. So let's anchor this with our affirmation. I appreciate the divine gift of my body. I treat it well and experience its grace and joy. Thank you.